Laura Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, the 5th of July, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano is found guilty of the crime of schism and is excommunicated. The bodies of 89 migrants are recovered from the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Mauritania. And in the United Kingdom, the Labour Party comes to power after 14 consecutive years of conservative rule. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith on Friday formally declared that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano has incurred the penalty of excommunication for the canonical crime of schism. The former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States has publicly rejected the legitimacy of both Pope Francis and of the Second Vatican Council, as Christopher Wells reports.
Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, the former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, has incurred the penalty of excommunication for having abandoned communion with the Bishop of Rome and the Catholic Church. A press release issued by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith states that the Congress of the Dicastery met on July 4th to conclude the extrajudicial penal process against the Archbishop, who is accused of schism, defined in canon law as the refusal of submission to the Supreme Pontiff or of communion with the members of the Church subject to him. The Dicastery's communique continued, "The Archbishop's public statements manifesting his refusal to recognize and submit to the Supreme Pontiff, his rejection of communion with the members of the Church subject to him, and of the legitimacy and magisterial authority of the Second Vatican Council are well known." On Friday, the Dicastery announced that Archbishop Vigano had been found guilty of schism and formally declared that he had thereby incurred the penalty of excommunication late sententiae, that is, by the very fact of having committed the offense, with the lifting of the censure reserved to the Apostolic See. It was Archbishop Vigano himself who, on June 20th, revealed the process against him. The prelate took to social media platform X to publish the full text of the decree summoning him to Rome to answer the charges against him. The summons provided Archbishop Vigano the opportunity to defend himself or appoint an advocate to do so in his stead, and to appear either in person or to present a written defense. As he did not choose to avail himself of these means within the specified time limit, Archbishop Vigano was assigned a public defender who undertook his defense according to the norms of law. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Catholic bishops of Pakistan have joined the Christian community's outcry against a Punjabi court death sentence condemning a young Christian for blasphemy in connection with an anti-Christian riot in the province last year. Christian leaders have condemned the verdict, saying it is an abuse of the controversial anti-blasphemy law often misused to target religious minorities. Lisa Zingarini tells us more.
Mr. Asan Raja Mazih, a 22-year-old brick kiln worker, was found guilty by the Sahiwal Anti-Terrorism Court in Punjab for allegedly sharing an image of a damaged Quran on social media. The post triggered the anti-Christian riot in the province's Jaranwala city in August last year, in which more than 25 churches and over 80 Christian homes were vandalized. Blasphemy has been a capital crime in Pakistan since 1981, though so far no one has been executed by the government. However, in several cases, mobs take the matter into their own hands and lynch the suspects, and the legislation is often misused for false accusations against religious minorities to settle personal scores. The death sentence has triggered widespread protests on social media and a strong condemnation from Pakistani Christian leaders who say it is an abuse of law, again targeting religious minorities. The president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Pakistan, Bishop Samson Shukardin, has joined in the outcry and called on the international community to appeal for justice. The big international NGOs and human rights organizations should come out and say something opposing this decision. This will make a big impact on the government, he remarked. Speaking to the Catholic charity Aid to the Church in Need, Bishop Shukardin lamented that minorities in Pakistan are suffering more and more and are scared to speak up in public. He noted that Muslims are also accused of blasphemy. But what makes such allegations so much worse for Christians, he said, is that when claims are made against them, it is not just individuals who are targeted, but their families and entire communities. I am Lisa Zengarini.
The bodies of 89 migrants have been recovered from the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Mauritania in West Africa after the capsizing of a fishing vessel. At least 170 people are believed to have been on board. As Linda Bordoni reports, the tragedy comes in the wake of a controversial agreement signed between the European Union and Mauritania that aims to reduce the number of migrants trying to reach Europe by paying the African state to receive and provide for African migrants who have been expelled or turned away.
Mauritanian Coast Guard officers recovered the bodies of 89 people who were aboard a large traditional fishing boat when it capsized in the waters of the Atlantic Ocean off the West African coast. 9 people were rescued, including a 5-year-old girl. But survivors said there were at least 170 people on board. That means 72 others are missing. The migrants had set out from the Gambia-Senegal border a week ago and were bound for Europe. Their boat reportedly went down just 4 kilometres from Mauritania's coastal city of Indiago. More and more desperate migrants follow the dangerous route that takes them from West Africa to Spain's Canary Islands and then on to other parts of Spain and Europe. Over 5,000 people are known to have died on that route in the first 5 months of this year. This umpteenth tragedy comes in the wake of a controversial deal signed in March between the EU and Mauritania to combat irregular migration. Mauritania promised to reduce the number of migrants transiting through its territory in exchange for €210 million. Part of the Mauritanian opposition is protesting against the agreement, particularly regarding the reception and accommodation of migrants that are turned away or expelled from Europe. It argues the agreement could pose risks to the security of the country by increasing pressure on limited economic resources, in addition to the spread of cross-border organized crime. What is certain is that a staggering number of men, women and children fleeing conflict, the climate crisis and injustice are paying the highest price. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Keir Starmer has been formally appointed Britain's new Prime Minister after his Labour Party's landslide victory in Thursday's general election. In his first speech as Premier, Starmer promised a government of service and said the work of change would begin immediately. Results from the elections showed that Labour had won a huge majority of seats in Parliament, while the outgoing Conservative Party slumped to its worst ever result with just over 120 seats. Susie Hodges reports from London.
Speaking outside the official residence of the Prime Minister in London, Starmer said people in Britain had voted decisively for change and pledged to embark on a mission of national renewal and rebuilding the country. He urged Britons to join his government of service, saying the country needed to move forward together. Starmer was formally appointed Prime Minister by Britain's King Charles, shortly after the outgoing Conservative Premier Rishi Sunak had handed in his resignation to the monarch. Earlier in his final speech as Premier, Sunak apologised to the country for his party's crushing defeat, saying he had heard the people's anger and disappointment. Labour's landslide victory has upended British politics. The party has increased its share of seats in Parliament by over 210, in marked contrast to its disastrous result in the 2019 elections, where Labour suffered its worst defeat in nearly a century. But what really stands out in this election result is the scale of the Conservative Party's defeat. The party, which had ruled Britain for 14 years, saw 250 of its lawmakers lose their seats in Parliament, including a record number of senior ministers. As surveys suggested, the election outcome underscored people's desire for change here after the infighting, turmoil and scandals that marred the Conservatives' rule. However, Starmer comes to power at a time when Britain is facing a series of daunting challenges. Living standards have fallen, public services are overstretched, especially the National Health Service, and Britain's tax burden is set to hit its highest level in nearly 80 years, while net debt is almost equivalent to annual economic output. Starmer has promised to improve relations with the European Union to resolve issues created by Britain's vote to leave the EU in 2016. Although Starmer voted to remain in the EU, he has repeatedly said rejoining the bloc is not on the table. For Vatican Radio, this is Susie Hodges reporting.
And an update on the Holy Land. As the war in Gaza rages on, Israel will send a team of negotiators to discuss a hostage release deal with Hamas. Nathan Morley reports.
The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, gave the green light to sending a delegation for talks on a ceasefire deal with Hamas and the release of hostages. In Washington, President Joe Biden applauded the development. Israel agreeing to take part in the negotiations, which will probably take place in Egypt or Qatar, came just 24 hours after the Qatari and Egyptian mediators, backed by the United States, delivered Hamas's response to a proposed deal to Israel. When he announced the plan back in May, President Biden said it was based on a more detailed Israeli proposal and that it involved three phases. The first would be to include a full and complete ceasefire lasting 6 weeks, the withdrawal of Israeli forces from populated areas of Gaza, and the exchange of some of the hostages, including women, the elderly, and the sick or wounded. They would be exchanged for Palestinian prisoners being held in Israel. The second phase would involve the release of all other living hostages and a permanent end to hostilities. The third phase involves the start of a major reconstruction plan for Gaza and the return of dead hostages. Israel State Television reported on voices of optimism in Jerusalem about the prospects of reaching a deal, describing Hamas's response as being the best since the start of indirect talks. All of this marks a renewed push to negotiate an end to the nine-month-long conflict, which has resulted in the deaths of more than 38,000 Palestinians in the battered enclave. Israel launched a huge offensive in the Gaza Strip following a Hamas attack through southern Israel last year, during which around 1,200 people were murdered and around 250 others were kidnapped. Hamas and allied armed groups are believed to still be holding around 116 hostages who were taken on October the 7th. At least 42 are presumed by Israeli authorities to be dead. The others have been released, rescued, or their bodies recovered. Four other Israelis have been held hostage since 2014 and 2015. Two of them are presumed dead as well. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti, our sound engineer today. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.